Welcome back to Soul Back. This is the R&B podcast. Kyle here with Ed. Ed, where is it? Where's Tom? It's December. I know it's December, but where is Tom?
Well, you know it's December, player. So usually around this time, the good boys and the good girls are getting their list together for Santa. But ain't no good in Tom's heart. So he's hiding out for these past couple weeks, trying to hope he can get in a good word with the big fat man. I ain't talking about Rick Ross. I'm talking about the dude that gives gifts, not mediocre albums. So we'll see if we hear from Tom in the next couple weeks. But he won't be here today. Yeah.
I have a feeling Tom's trying to give Santa like vegan cookies and dairy-free milk.
Unseasoned chicken all day long. What a sad, sad man.
Ed, Christmas is around the corner, and can I ask you, Ed, do you like those advent calendars, those chocolate ones? Because I saw them in the store the other day. Those are dangerous. You could eat all 12 in, like, one day.
Playa, it's funny you mentioned that. I did not even know those existed until a few years ago. I lived my whole life not knowing that there were chocolate calendars in existence. For some reason, they were just never in our household. But, I mean, I can see why they kept them away from me. With my sweet tooth, it would be a dangerous combination, dog.
Right. Well, you know, being that you're from VA, VA's finest, your boy Trey yep. Songz, you know, to start off this podcast, he released a new, it's not an album, it's a project, that's what they're calling it now, 1128.
That's what we're calling it now?
It's a double disc, I guess is what it's called. I guess one side of it is his more R&B side, the other side of it is his more ratchet side. Ed, coming off of Tremaine, which we both liked, what did you think of this project?
Oh my goodness. Well, this is supposed to be a season of merriment, but y'all got me on one already. Here's the thing. When I didn't review the project because number one, it's too long, and number two, I had too much going on in my life to sit with this mediocre piece. But I had posted just kind of my thoughts on it on the Soul and Stereo Cypher. Go there on Facebook.com, Soul and Stereo Cypher, get in the conversation with us. But anyway, I had a little convo there about the album, and I was like, I don't know, y'all. There's some good songs here, but it just feels like a collection of songs. And someone replied and said that there was actually an interview with Trey that said that, in fact, this wasn't an album. It was just a collection of songs he released. And it sure sounds like it, because this is just an incoherent, just randomly tossed together collection of outtakes. It just sounds like a bunch of cutting room floor outtakes. If you are a Trey Songz completist, I'm guess you'll find some stuff here. But if you are looking for an actual front to back solid album, you ain't going to find that here. This is a bunch of stuff that didn't make, it seems like, the stronger albums. So, yeah. There's not much here to take home, dog.
Yeah, because, I mean, he dropped this, first and foremost, on his birthday to follow the path of one Usher Raymond, and that doesn't seem to be a very successful plan if this is the type of music we're getting.
Player. And I've had this conversation before. I think that, well, I'll give a little bit of background. I was doing, as I usually do, as you have witnessed, Kyle, me arguing with people on Twitter is kind of what I do. So someone was arguing that I don't give albums today enough credit and that my scores are too low and I don't take into account the time. And what I've realized is that there's a certain generation of R&B fans that realize, and not just R&B fans, music fans in general, that the art of creating an album is really, really being lost. And that's why a lot of my scores for these albums are what they are. They're between like 3.5 and 3 and 2.5 because they aren't really albums in the true sense. What we have with this Trey album isn't an album. It's just a bunch of songs. It's a playlist. Same thing with the Drake album. Meek Mill came out with an album this week that was like 20-some songs. If it was 12, he could be doing something. But we're in this era of streaming where we just drop as much content as possible to get our stands to keep clicking, 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 so they can rack up streams and sales. But the actual art of creating an album is really being lost, and unfortunately is really taking a toll on a lot of the projects that we've seen over the past 12 months.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, to Trey's credit, I guess, he has dropped multiple mixtapes throughout his entire career, none of which have been really that memorable, aside from Anticipation, which came out before Ready. It was like the prelude to Ready, and Ready, of course, is his standout album. So Anticipation was great, but everything else, he's dropped a lot of music like throughout the years. So this is nothing out of the ordinary. But I'll tell you what, Ed, I was so disappointed because when I first heard Shooting Shots, the one that samples the SWV record, I thought that was going to be the throwaway track. I'm like, okay, this is the lead single. It's not the greatest, but he's going to have some gems. Ed, that song ends up being the best on the album, unfortunately.
I was going to say, that's the only song that stands out of like, I don't know, what, 25 songs or something that he released? That's the one that stands out. And we had discussed it on the podcast before about it being like, oh, we like the sample, but we don't really care about anything else. And that's kind of the case here. It's, again, I know a lot of people take us to task and say we aren't getting it and we aren't real Trey fans, whatever. But the point is that we're just getting in 2018 these batches of quote-unquote playlists that aren't cohesive works of art. And then I know Trey's your boy, and you know he's VA. I try to defend my VA people when I can, but at the end of the day, man, Reddit came out in 2009, and he's getting really close to that one hot album every 10-year average tag, because it's been a long time since Reddit, and it hasn't been anything close to that that he's dropped. So, ain't looking good for my boy. I did like Tremaine. I did like that. Okay. But besides that, it's been a rough road.
You're not going to be blasting Bottoms Up with Nicki Minaj?
I will be blasting whoever puts that near my speakers. That will get blasted.
Right. Ed, it's interesting, though. Genuine posted a picture with himself and Trey probably a couple of weeks ago. They were in Australia together for an R&B tour, and Genuine said, watch out, we're going to be doing some work together. What would a Genuine and Trey Songz record sound like, Ed? Are you excited for that?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. Between the old lady panties and the young lady panties, it'd be a whole lot of problems and parental testing going on with those two. But both of them have seen better days, so unless they can recapture the magic of 10 years prior in their careers, I don't even know if I want to hear that.
Damn. Well, I'm hoping to get at least one ooh yeah on one of those songs.
Oh, you'll definitely get that. And if you don't get that, you'll be guaranteed to have a Ty Dolla Sign feature. So that one for sure will happen.
Oh, we'll definitely get a Ty Dolla feature. Now, speaking of VA, your other VA brother, your cousin Chris Brown.
Cousin Chris.
He's announced that he's working on new music. I think he's about to drop either an album or a single entitled Indigo. He describes this music as stuff that you can listen to help you internally. Ed, does that mean Chris Brown is going to be introspective, or are we talking internally, like sex stuff?
We're talking sex stuff, player. We ain't talking internally. And again, this is another artist who I have been begging for a very long time to evolve. And this is a time I feel like, as his audience evolves, this is the time for him to do it. Because it ain't so long you can keep doing lovey-dovey, kiss-kiss. Like, come on now. So I think that this is the time for him to do something new. Are we going to see it? I ain't gonna get my hopes up, but internally, I don't expect to hear any Lauryn Hill circa 1999 on this joint.
So it's more songs about your private parts. Cool.
You know it.
All right. Moving away from VA, let's talk about one of your favorite groups of all time, 112. They released the new record tonight with, of course, we've talked about it numerous times on the podcast now, with just Mike and Slim. Duran and Q are not part of the group anymore, and that scares me. They released a record. Ed, what did you think?
This is supposed to be the season of merriment and good cheer. I'm supposed to be in a good mood. Instead, I keep trashing everything. Well, I guess that's just me being me. But when I hear 112, you know what I think of? I think of Cupid. I think of Dance With Me. I think of, what is this, numbers in your pocket? I think of that. I don't think of a watered down trap song. Unfortunately, that's what we've got here. I know. You can tweet me at E.T. Bowser and tell me about how much trap is the sound and what we need to be doing and blah, 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 blah. That's fine. If you're going to do trap, use what you have brought to the table, the Cupids and the It's Over Now and that kind of stuff, and kind of mix it in and make it your own. But when you just do a generic trap song that sounds like everybody else, that hollow robotic sound, you don't separate yourself. And it just sounds like, hey guys, we're going to pretend to do a trap song. That's where this one falls short. And I love 112, so it's not just me being mean to Trey. I got to be mean to my boys too.
Right. Shout outs to Mike, though. He's showing us a lot of love just throughout the history of our website. But, you know, he gave us some props for posting it on the site. Unfortunately, you don't like it, Ed. But shout outs to Mike.
I love, they're my boys. They're my boys forever. But this one I can't rock with.
Yeah. Well, they did have a couple of solid records on their last album. So hopefully there's some of that to come on this one. Because it's not like Duran and Q are more or less talented than Mike and Slim. But it's just good to see them all together creating as opposed to just half of the group.
Right. I'm with you on that.
Right. Now, speaking of trap, our girl Kelly Rowland. To this day, still looks great. But the music, Ed.
She does.
This new song. Can we talk about this new song? Because when I heard it, 2 seconds in, I'm like, oh God, here we go.
See, player, and that's why I feel, usually when I'm on my old man rants, it's all good, because it's what I do. It's why y'all listen. But today, I feel like you can just copy and paste every comment I make for every artist we're talking about. Take everything I just said about the 112 joint and apply it here. You got Kelly Rowland, who, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated and underappreciated artists of our generation. If she had not been tied to Beyonce, if she had not been tied to Destiny's Child, she'd be a bigger star, because she can sing, she's got the look, she's got the talent, she got the performing skills. But no matter what she does, everybody's like, well, it ain't Beyonce. So that has always been, she's always been in that shadow, no matter how good she's been. And she's put out some solid albums. However, she decided to go the trap route too. And again, I don't have a problem with trap. If you don't believe me, go listen to Beyonce and Jay-Z's trap album from earlier this year that I actually liked, because there was some substance behind it. They didn't sound like they were playing trap karaoke. Miss Kelly sounded like she playing trap karaoke on this one. It's just hollow and just let me brag about my stuff with the auto-tune, and this is not working for me. I know there were a lot of fans on the Soul and Stereo Cypher that liked it, and they were hyped about it, and they were like, you know, this is my song for 2019. This song ain't gonna get past this week for me, y'all.
Yeah, and that seems to be a problem with a lot of these trap records that come out from these R&B artists. They're trying to make a movement or a meme out of something, but, I mean, the song has to come first, Ed. The quality of the song, we just forgot about that.
It's just been lost, because it feels like everybody is following the blueprint, but not adding, like, Kelly, you're a legend. You are a legitimate game changer in this industry. You have set the tone. You are a part of one of the biggest selling groups of all time. And I know we tend to forget that because it's Beyonce, blah, 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 blah. But Kelly is part of that package. She is legendary. Her career is legendary when you tie in Destiny's Child. Them's are facts. I got receipts for you. But with that in mind, you should not be doing what these little trapping boys doing, because they're going to be forgotten in 3 months, whereas your legacy shall stand. If you want to do that, cool, but add what made you Kelly to that package. That's what Beyonce and Jay-Z did. And that's why I actually am still listening to that album off and on today, 6 months after it dropped, because they were able to insert what made them special into that song, not just copy and pasting what you do. You can't command see this thing, dog. And that's what this song sounds like. It's very disappointing from an artist who we know can do better.
Yeah, and I want to give a quick shout out to our reader, John Betts, who wrote, "Immature lyrics, trap beats, what more could you want?"
I see no lie.
All right, let's see what else we got here. We got K. Michelle's new song produced by DJ Camper, "Save Me, Ed." Why is there so much auto-tune on this song?
I don't know why there's so much auto-tune on this song, but I will say this. I can't complain about this one as much as I have the last two or three. This song has unnecessary auto-tune, but it's okay. My one beef with this is it just sounds like a regular old K. Michelle song. I feel like she's gotten into this groove in the past couple years where she knows how to make like the one or two style songs that she makes, and that's what she does. They're well sung most of the time, well produced, but they don't really do anything to shake up the groundwork. And that's what this is. If you like K. Michelle, you'll like this. But also, if you've heard pretty much every other K. Michelle mid-tempo song on the planet, you've heard this one too. Just slap a little auto-tune on the hook and you're good.
So, here's my question, Ed. So, as you know, K. Michelle removed her juicy booty not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Wouldn't you want a record where she talks about the experience of removing the juicy booty? Or is that, like, off-limits in R&B?
Please. I'm not trying to hear about you taking your accessories off like a freaking Voltron. You took those lions off your legs. Like, I don't want to hear about that. Now, if you have something of that experience to bring to the table, if you realize you took it out because you were realizing you were chasing beauty standards that the world has put out there and you learned to love yourself and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's a great song. That's a great concept for a song. That's a great concept for an album. If you want to do that, that's fine. But again, make sure there's a reason for why you're doing it and you're not just doing it because, oh, this is in the headlines. Let me just make mention of this and throw a trap beat on it. You know, there used to be, like, substance behind this thing. We ain't got to chase TMZ for everything. Man, I'm really on my old man today.
Well, Ed, I swear to God, that's the new song of Brooke Valentine and Bridget Kelly. And I'm not going to lie, when I first saw this collaboration, I was terrified. Because, I mean, both have some talent. And yeah, both have made some memorable songs. You know, I'll be honest, I did enjoy some songs off Brooke Valentine's debut. She had more songs than Girl Fight, guys. Let's just keep it real. And Bridget, of course, we've loved Bridget for a while now. But Ed, this record is actually not bad. I thought it would be a lot worse. But hey, shout outs to both of them. I know they're doing the reality TV show thing, trying to get things back and running, but I'm glad that they put together something that was decent.
Yeah, again, I hadn't heard this song, so I can't really speak on it, but they're two talented artists. Like, we have long talked about how much we love, I mean, Brooke is your girl, and you're right, she's a little bit more than Girl Fight, so a lot of times she gets tossed into that, but we've talked before about how much we love Bridget and how talented she is and how we really thought she was going to really advance the genre. So putting the two together and hearing that it worked out all right, that's not really surprising me. That's what happens when you have talented folks. But I would hope that, you know, this isn't a one-off and this isn't just an opportunity for more TV show headlines. So good for them for making it pop.
Exactly. And man, I got to give you a funny story here, Ed. So as you know, if you remember Brooke Valentine and what she looks like, she is very much in shape, especially back in like 2005. She had all the right curves, everything. So, back in 2005, I was looking at pictures of her on Google, and at the same time, I was chatting with someone on, I forget what instant messenger program I was talking to somebody on. I meant to copy and paste a link of something else, and I accidentally sent my friend a picture of Brooke Valentine, a female friend of Brooke Valentine.
Oh my god. Was like,
it was bad. So that's my lasting memory of Brooke.
Oh my god. I wish I was around just to make you feel even worse about that. That's terrible.
Yeah, like, what are you supposed to say to that? when you're what like, did you wrong. Say?
Like, yeah, did you just say my bad? Like,
yeah, I think I said my bad, and she was just like, hey, in the future, don't send me pictures like that again. I'm like, gotcha.
Oh, did you ever talk to her again?
Yeah, we still keep in touch, but let me just say, whenever she's around, Brooke Valentine is not on the playlist.
Oh my gosh. My heart hurts for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ed, what is on everyone's playlist right now in December? And as the days go by, we'll probably hear it more and more. If you haven't already, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. This song is massive, Ed. I think it's like charting on the Billboard again. Once again, it's been doing that for the last couple of years. Has this song always been this big? Like, how did it just randomly become this phenomenon that it is today?
No, I don't think it's suddenly a phenomenon. This song is, when you go back to, 91, whenever that thing dropped out, 91, 92. Like, this has always been one of her biggest songs, if not her biggest song. Like, this song has so much crossover appeal. For many people, it is Christmas. That song is the embodiment of Christmas. So it does not surprise me at all. I just recently, well, not just recently, but I reposted it recently. Maybe a year or two ago, I went through and reviewed Mariah's entire discography. And whenever I review discographies, I always leave out the Christmas albums because they're hard to rank. Because half the time, they're just re-singing classic songs. And it's kind of hard to rank those. And so many people were pissed that I didn't add the Christmas album. Because to them, that album is as important as Mimi and Butterfly and Daydream. Because it's so integral to who Mariah is. It's no question to me that every year that song is going to pop. Because it's such a big deal. There's a reason why they trot her out every Christmas and New Year's Eve. Because she is the embodiment of the holidays.
Yep. And it's funny because I was on Twitter the other day and they, you know that meme of The Undertaker or the gif where like he gets up from his casket?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah, the caption was something like Mariah Carey on December 1st, Undertaker comes out of his casket. Which is actually not entirely correct, but I thought it was funny.
But it's still pretty hilarious. Oh, the Mariah stans are going to light you up for that one, but it's so true and so funny.
But Ed, it's interesting. You said it might be her biggest song. Let's think about this for a second, because she's had like 17 number one records, and this could be number 18 at this point with the way it's going via the streams and all. Is this Mariah Carey's most popular / biggest / signature song at this point?
I honestly would say yes. Now, I know a lot of y'all that were, and look, if you were born in 1999... you're going to whine and say, no, me. And listen, Mariah had a decade of experience before 2005. Trust me, dog. I think when you look at, even beyond R&B fans, if you ask random ole on the street, name a Mariah Carey song, they are not going to say freaking Shake It Off. They're going to say the Merry Christmas song. Like, that's the All I Want for Christmas, whatever it's called. Like, that's what she's going to say. Because that, to them, is Mariah Carey. She is known for that one song. To me, I don't know the numbers behind it, but if you ask a random person, and just from my experience, I think that that is the most well-known Mariah Carey song. And honestly, may be one of the most well-known holiday songs ever. Ever.
Yeah.
What a huge ball.
I'm trying to think, Ed. The Christmas song is definitely up there. It might be a generational thing, but I think Hero is up there, but I don't think this new generation knows that song.
I guarantee you this new generation don't know Hero.
We Belong Together, as you are aware, was huge. I know you listened to it every single hour when you were in your younger days. But
I cannot stomach that song anymore. But I know a good song when I hear it, and that's a great song. It's just, y'all, played into the ground. My God.
Right. So, those two, I think, are in contention. I don't think One Sweet Day, even though it's, like, the most, like, weeks at number one, I don't think that's one of Mariah Carey's That was just, at its time, it was just a huge collaboration. Always Be My Baby is one of my favorites, but I don't think that's I mean, to me, that's probably the signature Mariah song, like in terms of her songwriting, but no, I don't think that's her most popular either.
No.
Vision
no,
of a
no. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you named some great ones, but again, and there's always going to be a generational thing. I promise you, when this podcast comes out, I'm going to get 3 or 4 people in my mentions that are going to say "We Belong Together" or you know, something from 2005 onward. But that's just generational. But if you ask just if you get a random selection of people, I'm telling you, the Christmas song is going to be very, very high on the list, if not number one. To me, I think it still stands as her most known record.
Yeah, and then the cool thing is she wrote that song, because a lot of people think that's a cover of an older song, but she actually put that song together, so I think that itself deserves some props.
Yes, that is a legit joint from her. It's crazy. That imagine writing a song that would go on to become part of American worldwide just culture. Like, that song is just part of worldwide culture now. It's not just a hot song for the year or the month. Like, it has become part of a worldwide celebration. That is massive. You can't sleep on Mariah.
Nope, you can't. And you know, she's gonna be apparently rumored to be putting out a remix of A No No, which, Ed, I know you like that song. Jermaine Dupri has been reaching out to the likes of Lil Kim, Missy Elliott. I think Cardi B is also rumored to be on the record. That might be a fun collaboration right there.
It reminds me of one of my favorite 90s collaborations when Total did their remix and had Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, and DeBrat on it. That's what this reminds me of. And that record was so big back then because Kim and Foxy were just like at the top of their games. This was before they hated each other, so this was huge, 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 and they had this great remix together. This is what it feels like to me, so I would like to see it. You know, I ain't the biggest Cardi fan, so, you know, take or leave her. But I think this could be really monumental, and this is the perfect song for that type of collabo.
Well, you need Cardi on the song, or at least I hope she's on the song, because, Ed, our Popeye's bet is back on. This song is going to hit
number one
if Cardi B is on the record.
Oh my, now the bet is overplayed. You can't move the goalposts. Like, it's over. You lost. Take your L.
All right. Now, speaking of Christmas, Ed, you know, Mariah, of course, is now considered pretty much the queen of Christmas. But check this out. Tamar Braxton did something pretty cool over the last couple of weeks. So she asked her fans, you know, what are some songs of hers that weren't singles, that didn't have videos, that they wish were singles or had videos. And you know, the fans listed out some of their favorite Tamar songs, and she went out and she recorded music videos for those ones. She put them out on YouTube over the last week or so, invested it with her own money. That's kind of cool.
That's huge, and I had not heard about this, so that's breaking news even to me. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I mean, I hope everyone goes out and supports it. And Tom was saying, like, what's the point of doing that, blah blah blah, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do to survive in this R&B landscape. Even if it doesn't get the views that we're hoping for, at least she's trying.
Oh, then, and they say that I'm the grouchy one. Of course, Tom is like, oh, what's the point of it? Well, I mean, honestly, you know, what does she have to lose, really? I mean, we would think that this is not some bank-breaking Hype Williams video with Busta Rhymes and, like, liquid metal and stuff.
Oh no!
So we would think that this is something that's just for the fans, and it keep her music out there. Maybe she'll get an iTunes boost. I don't really see a loss in this. I think it's a cool idea. I would love to see more artists do that.
Yeah, and you know, on a side note, because it seemed like she recorded all of those music videos through like an iPhone. Guys, I know we're trying to save money with technology and all that, but I personally can tell if you record something through an iPhone versus an actual camera, but that's just me.
Well, of course you can, player, but my point still remains, well, what this is, for what this was, I think it was a cool little project, so I ain't mad at all. I think it was cute.
We love you, Tamar. That's for all the Tamartians out there.
Oh my gosh, you talk about the Mariah stans being bad. The Tay Martins are worse.
Mm-hmm. Ed, are you ready for the Play a Please Awards?
Yes.
So, not a lot of foolishness going on this week, aside from, you know, Lauryn Hill showing up late to concerts. But did you watch the Soul Train Awards?
No, I did not watch the Soul Train Awards, and I always hate it because it always seems to be one of the better award shows of the year. But I'm always busy that evening, kind of coming off of the Thanksgiving holidays. Either I'm traveling or I'm doing stuff with family, so I missed it. Like, unfortunately, I always do.
Well, Faith Evans got like a Lifetime Achievement Award and went through, you know, her string of hits, her classics, and then Donnell Jones and John B both got to perform on stage. And, you know, I might be, you know, regurgitating this incorrectly, but it was something like, in case you forgot, here are John B and Donnell Jones' biggest hits. So then they performed, and that just felt so cheap to me, but that is what it is. At least they got some exposure. But the Play a Please for this one, this time around, is an R&B fan wrote, and shout outs to DJ Soulchild for sharing this with us. John B performed They Don't Know. An R&B fan commented with, wow, this white dude has a lot of soul. He should put out some albums. Ed?
Oh my God. Player. First of all, how old was this person? Were they seven? This white dude has some soul. They should put out some albums. The thing that bothers me is if you were watching this show and if you were paying attention, clearly this person is an older artist who is like kind of like sharing past hits. Because that's what this award show is. This award show isn't look at all these newbies, although they have some newer artists perform on like the, you know, like the little, I call it the kiddie table, the baby stage, where they sing like 30 seconds of their track. But for a Donnell Jones and a John B, even if you don't know them, clearly they are someone with a discography and catalog. Y'all Google all these stupid SpongeBob memes and every other meme. Why can't you just throw John B in the Google machine and pull up like decades worth of hits? It's not that hard. If you can tweet, you can Google. Get your life.
And if you do that, you will find out that John B. released more albums after Pleasures You Like. But who's going to be doing that?
I don't even think some of our listeners know that, unfortunately.
Well, there you have it. So shout out to John B. and Donnell. That was cool to see them back on stage. The next player, please, Ed. Well, I got to first give a shout out to Little Mo. I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but she's going to be quitting music altogether, and she's going to go become a lawyer or work her way towards becoming a lawyer. Man, the R&B streets, it's hard out here.
Man, it's hard out here. Y'all done ran off a perfectly good voice like Mo, and now she got to go practice law. Y'all know I'm a huge Lil Mo fan. She's hilarious. Her mouth always gets her in trouble. But I'm a big Mo fan, so I can't hate. Go on, get your cheddar, Mo.
Well, her mouth did get her in some trouble, and Ed, we might have opposing views on this, but I gotta take the side of Queen Naija on this one. I'm not even sure if you knew about this, but of course Queen Naija was part of the the cipher that was going on at the Soul Train Awards. It was her, it was Luke James, I think Kelly Price was on it.
Oh yes,
as well.
Kelly Price. That's the one thing I did see. I did see clips of that. Yes.
So Queen Naija, I think, was one of the, and I think BJ the Chicago Kid was there as well, if I remember correctly. So, you know, a nice mixture of new and old artists. Queen Naija goes on for a bit, sings her song, Karma, and Little Mo tweets out something like, there's a lot of great vocalists out in the game, why are they putting Queen Naija on there? Ed. And Queen Naija, of course, you know, she kept it politically correct and just said, you know, it's not cool for a veteran to be making comments like that to an up-and-coming artist because, you know, you never know what those type of comments will do for somebody if it was positive as opposed to negative. Ed, I'm on Queen Naija's side on this one.
As much as I love Mo and I love the Petty, I'm on her side too. Like, come on, Mo. And I mean, I heard it. I do think that some segments of our fan base overhype her a little bit, but she's new. She's just starting out. you know, she has talent. I will admit that. She needs room to grow. I don't think we need to be that critical out the gate. And she was fine. Chill out, Mo. Stop being a bully.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, and, you know, I do agree with Mo's point in that we need to highlight other vocalists, but, I mean, it's an award show. They're trying to put on somebody new. Queen Naija's new to the game. She has a huge fan base, so it makes sense. And it's not like she can't sing. So, Mo, we got to give you the play of please for this one. But best of luck in your, you know, career as a lawyer.
I don't know if I want Mo to be my case to try. If I'm facing one of those Meek Mill sentences where, like, I've been, like, I did some little thing and I'm about to be going to jail for, like, 1,000 years for some jaywalking type sentence, I don't know if I want Little Mo kind of handling my case there. I love her. If she could sing me to the courtroom, that's cool. But handling my legal matters, I don't know about that. Plus, she's going to be petty and piss off the judge and then I'm getting in trouble.
Well, Little Mo is going to Little Mo, so...
That's still my girl.
Mm-hmm. And the last play of please, Tom brought this to our attention because you definitely were not aware of it, neither was I. Jaheim dropped a Christmas album last year. Did you know about this?
Now, yeah, Tom and I talked about this a couple of days ago. I knew about it, but it's weird. It, like, came and went. Like, it didn't get promoted at all. I just saw, I don't know if he tweeted or somebody shared it with me. But I think it's because every year at Soul and Stereo, we kind of count down Christmas songs and Christmas albums. And somebody might have nominated that album. But I remember someone telling me about it, but I never went back to listen to it. And it kind of just flew out of my mind.
Well, here's an interesting lyric in that song, Ed. I didn't ask for underwear or tube socks. Should have just kept your big ass on the rooftop. Why is he throwing shade at Santa?
Little player, this is 2018. Even Santa can catch smoke. So, like, it's ridiculous to me that we got to throw shots at the big man.
And what's wrong with tube socks?
I mean, what's right with tube socks? I can buy those myself.
That's right. You're right. So that concludes this week's Play It Please. And, Ed, we're going to have Shantae Moore on the podcast now. I mean, I think I forgot to mention it earlier, but Shantae Moore will be joining us. So
play in journalism, that's called bearing the lead. Yes, you forgot the biggest point. That we've got the legendary, the one of my favorite artists ever, Shantae Moore. I'm really hyped about this one. We got some good questions for it too.
Yep, so let's get it going. Every week we try to bring in a special guest, someone that's helped bring soul back. Ed, introduce us to this week's guest.
Oh, man, I am so excited for this one, y'all. We are joined by one of my favorites from the past 90s, 2000s, and going into the 2010s, the voice behind some of your favorite songs going back to 92 and the Precious era, going back to when she told us that she had a man. It is your favorite R&B star, TV star, the one and only Miss Shantae Moore. Shantae, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing okay. Excuse my raspy voice, but I'm doing fine.
Well, some of the best vocalists have that rasp, so we're going to embrace it today.
Okay.
Right. Shantae, it's cool because just last week I was watching TV and Romeo Must Die was on TV, and I know you were a part of that soundtrack. And, man, that was one of the best soundtracks from, you know, that time. What do you remember about being a part of that? I know Static helped you write that record that you were on, This Is a Test?
Yeah, I loved working with him, actually. I called it, like, pretty funk is what I called it at the time. It just, I love that it was musical, but still funky. But I was blessed and honored to be a part of that, and, of course, miss Aaliyah very much. But I was glad to be a part of that. It's always nice when I see that on TV as well.
Shantae, do you miss the era of soundtracks? You know, we came up in the era of, when you had a great movie, you would have a soundtrack that sometimes was better than the movie. And to the day, these days, we still remember the soundtrack. So I can't tell you a thing about New Jersey Drive, but I can tell you about the soundtrack. So What happened? Why don't we have that era where the soundtracks were just so powerful and popular, and your voice was a part of several of them?
Well, I think there are good songs that are out there. I know I did love from the movie, what is it, The Gray? Shades of Gray. What is it called? The Gray.
Oh, Fifty Shades.
I love that song by the dude. Girl, you're perfect. That one. I like that. I think there are songs that are good for movies, and there are songs that are just good songs. And I think that sometimes the mood of a song, the mood of a movie needs that particular mood for the song. But I think if you're into particular kinds of movies, you're going to find other kinds of songs. I think the great R&B soundtracks may not be happening all the time, but I think there are beautiful songs that are being made for movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But speaking of music, new music, actually, you dropped an EP earlier in the year. Can you just talk to us about that EP a little bit?
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite projects. It's called One of Four, and there are going to be four of them. It was the first one that we made, and we really were thinking about doing a whole CD, a whole album, like 12 deep. But we started thinking about it, and we thought, you know what? People's attention spans are so much shorter now, and it's sometimes difficult to get people to appreciate songs if it's 12 songs. We thought we'd break it up into bite-sized pieces, so it'll be a little easier to just kind of get more music out, but just a little bit at a time, just to keep my name and my voice out there and new music out there. I've made a commitment to just sing until I drop. So I was really pleased that the writers that I was writing with and were also singers. And so I was going to find some other singers, R&B singers and whoever in the industry. And we started listening to the songs and they sounded so good. I was like, why do we need anybody else to sing this? So I invited my friends who wrote the songs with me to be on the CD with me. So that's how that came about.
That was great, and that was definitely one of our favorites this year. And it's funny that you mentioned the strategy behind that, because we're seeing a lot of veteran artists. Sean Stockman, he dropped an EP not long ago. We're kind of going the EP route, just giving us four or five songs. You talked a little bit about why you did it, but why do you think that it's becoming more common that we see these little bite-sized chunks of music instead of the full-fledged LPs that we came up on?
Well, I don't know if I was exactly the first, but maybe I was. But I think that people are getting it. The artists are getting it. We want you as the listeners to really embrace every song. And it's hard to do that. Sometimes you get a whole lot at once. It sometimes it's just overwhelming, and you don't get to really embrace each song and get into it as much as you possibly could if it was just a little at a time. So I think we all get it that music is moving really fast. The industry has changed a lot. And I think if we're going to keep up with it, we have to create a new way to listen. With downloading and with streaming and things like that, I think new music all the time is just a good idea.
Shante, how do you consume music nowadays? Because, like, for me, I was just talking to Ed about this before you got on. Like, I miss the days when, you know, we would live with an album for an extended amount of time. But even now, I find myself guilty of moving on to the next thing. So how are you consuming music in 2018?
Well, I love XM Radio, so I get a wide variety of music. But I think that I'm stuck a little bit in the past because I do love my playlist that's already on my iPod. I will admit that. But I'm trying to get more into streaming because I want my audience to stream as well. And I know it's a generation gap there, and I'm trying to embrace it as well. So I'm trying to get my fans to do it. So if I'm trying to get them to do it, I'm trying to be an example by doing it myself because I want to support other artists as well. So I definitely do purchase records on iTunes, and then my attempt is to stream them more often so that they get the credit for it as I would like it as well.
See, I'm so glad you said that because Kyle loves to pick on me because what I do is if I like an album, I will not only will I stream, but I will purchase it on iTunes and then I will burn it to a disc and I will put that disc in my little, I am so weird about having the physical copy, so I got to have my little copy.
You really committed, boy.
Yes, and if I really like an album and I can find it in Target, I will cop that physical copy. We just consume music differently these days, and there's so many ways and outlets, and as you mentioned, stuff just happens so fast, and music just drops so fast. Are you able to keep up with all the stuff that comes out?
Nope. No, but my children, I have a 15-year-old and a 22-year-old, and both of them are music lovers as well. So usually when I'm in the car with them, if they're playing something, that's when I hear the newest and the hottest and the best to them anyway. So I'm trying to keep track, but, you know, being an artist myself, I'm busy working and traveling and doing interviews like this, so I don't have a whole lot of extra time in the car, but I do travel and listen to the music as I do travel. So I'm liking some of the new artists, and I really love it that the old artists are also coming back and giving us a taste of R&B again. You know, I think we have to embrace our music, and we have to embrace our artists, so I'm really happy to see some of the veterans coming back, too.
And, you know, Shantae, you dropped an album last year, Christmas album as well, and this year it's an EP. Such a quick turnaround. I know a lot of artists these days, and it's not a shot at them, but a lot of them, they're just on the road during the weekend. They do their shows, and then during the weekdays, you know, they're just spending time with their family. How do you find the motivation to go back into the studio and create? Because, I mean, you've done it all so many years now. Like, how do you have the mindset to do it all over again?
You know, I do take my hat off to the artists who are doing the same thing that you're saying. I know it's a lifetime of a commitment to be an artist, and you have to love music to be able to keep doing this for as long as some of us have. It has to be a thing that you love one song at a time, first of all. When I'm creating music, that makes me fall in love again with the process. And that process is creating, like writing it, singing it, having the producer get into it and having the music and getting excited about that, getting excited about the audience that's going to hear it when I sing it live, when I hear it on the radio, all of that has to stay there. It has to be something that's fresh. It's called, it's a fresh love that has to happen all the time. And I think that's part of why we keep doing what we do. You have to love it to do this for a living.
You know, we just mentioned your Christmas album, which you dropped last year, but you're still pushing that album. You know, Christmas is around the corner again. You know, just talk about the Christmas album for those that missed it last year.
Well, it's called Christmas Back to You, and it did come out last year. And the single last year was Cover Me in Snow. This year, it's Every Day's Like Christmas, and it's one of my favorite songs because the whole album to me was something that happened because I do absolutely love my producer, Ronnie Jackson. He's Beat for the Stars, if you guys are on Instagram or anything like that. His production style and the way he embraces music and what's modern, I love how he mixes my authentic style with what's going on now and his sound to create something new. And we wanted to continue to keep writing, but we were finished with the CD with Rise of the Phoenix, and we were like, well, let's do a Christmas album. So we just continued to write, and we decorated the whole studio and made it a winter wonderland. We put up a tree and decorated everything, and we started writing. And that was the first song we wrote, was Every Day is Like Christmas, because we were thinking, you know, it doesn't have to be Christmas to give gifts. It doesn't have to be Christmas to show someone that you love them. You should make every day like Christmas. So that's kind of how it came about. We wanted to do remakes and new ones as well. So we have some new classics, about five of those, and I believe we did six classics. So we enjoyed it.
Man, it is nothing like those Christmas classics. And we've been counting down, kind of starting in December, our favorite. We've had kind of our readers share their favorite albums that we've been featuring on Twitter. What are some of your, like, Christmas standbys? It's not Christmas until you hear these songs. What are those songs for you?
You know, I love Donny Hathaway. I'm not going to have a Christmas until I hear that on the radio.
Yes.
I do really love Mariah Carey's song, All I Want for Christmas. I really do love that she wrote that, and it's so unique that someone in this era has made that kind of a classic. You know what I'm saying? I really love that she's done that and been so successful at it. Goodness gracious, I see his face. We did the album. What's his name? Oh, Charles Brown is also one of my favorites. I remade one of his, Merry Christmas, Baby. Actually, I did too.
Yep.
One of them I had never heard, Please Come Home for Christmas, I had never even heard before. So I definitely was in love with Merry Christmas, Baby already. But I think there's so many songs that come, and, The Whispers have great songs that I remember. There's just so many classics. I can't even remember them all right now, but I love
right.
this time of year. It's my absolute favorite time of year.
Yes, and to me, the best songs are always the most depressing songs. The emotions, What Do the Lonely Do? Like, that is my song every year. It's so sad.
Oh.
Song.
That's good. I think it's good. I think there are mixed emotions on Christmas anyway. There are a lot of suicides typically in history that because people do wish they had the one they used to love or the one or someone new to love during this time. But it really can be sad, but it can be also happy. And I think that's part of what embraces what we do to embrace life is we have to take both the good and the bad. So
very true.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Absolutely. Now, Shanti, just to get back to R&B for a moment here, you know, R&B has changed so much ever, you know, even since when you first came out. How do you kind of like, do you like the landscape of R&B today where it's like a mixture of, you know, some of that hip hop trap sound that's going on, but also some of that classic, like, how do you find the balance and can you even listen to the music that comes out today? Because it, you know, it might be us getting old, myself and Ned, but it's getting harder and harder to really embrace what's out right now.
Some songs are hard to hear, but some songs are really clever. So, you know, I have to keep my mind open because I am still here, you know, and I'm still making music. So I don't want to be stuck in a rut just because it's the kind of music that I've always made. I can't remake Precious 100 times. So I do have to stay, you know, cognizant of what is coming out now and be relevant to that, you know, in some kind of way. I'm not trying to be 16 and I don't want to make hip hop songs necessarily, but I do want to grab that audience if it's possible. Of course, everybody wants to have a wide, broad audience. So we're all trying to just survive. And I think that if you embrace the sound of now and know who you are as an artist at the same time, then you're going to continue to make great music and your fan base will go with you, you know?
Well said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Well, what are you listening to nowadays? Aside from the classics, but what new artists, R&B, hip-hop are you listening to?
Well, I do like Ella May. I do like her. They have beautiful voices. What are some of the guys? What's that guy's name? My son loves that guy. Shoot, I can't remember his name right now. Because the songs come on and we hear them on Sirius Radio, and sometimes they don't back, you know, announce it. So I hear the songs when I'm driving. I don't hear it. Eric Bellinger is good. I like him. There's another guy who's a really good, and I love the duets that are happening now too. That's something that's kind of happening that's a little special to me, that the artists are getting together and singing, because that used to be something that happened more often than it does now. But I'm enjoying that as well.
Probably Daniel Caesar, Anderson. If you're talking about the duets.
Yeah, I love
yes,
it.
Yes, Anderson Paak.
Mm.
Yeah, he's good. He's
yep.
really good.
Right. Now, Shanti, we love talking about R&B, vocals, the whole thing, and of course you've got them, but we're curious, and we're hoping it doesn't get anyone in trouble, but can you give us your top five male and female vocalists of, you know, your personal, your personal favorites?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Minnie Riperton, Chaka Khan, Anita Baker, Whitney Houston, and good gracious, who would be my next female? It's so hard to choose them. Well, I'll say the first one who I liked who was producing, singing, and writing was Tina Marie. I really enjoyed that. That she could play music and write music and produce, and that was something I think was unique at the time as well. Male artists, let's see. Prince, Michael Jackson, those are easy. I do like Chris Brown. I like his voice. I like that he's sustained himself as well. The new guy I mentioned just now, I love his style, Anderson Paak. He has such a unique way and performs very well live. So he's going to be on my top list now. Nat King Cole has always been wonderful. I don't know if that was five or not, but that was close.
I think you hit five. I think you're good.
Yeah.
Good eclectic list.
Yeah.
Ed, are you mad at any? Are you mad at Keith Sweat not being on that list? Ed loves
now,
Keith
see.
Sweat.
You know what? Keith Sweat has a style more than he is a great singer. Every time he comes on, you know it's Keith Sweat, and I think that's what's beautiful about Keith is that every time he comes on, you know it's him. He has a swag and a style that's all his own.
See, thank you, Shanti. See, Kyle's trying to be petty, and I'm trying to behave because we got company. But yeah, you know, like Anderson .Paak, like he's got a different style. Yeah, he might not be Luther, but he does what
Luther,
he does.
Luther, oh my God, yeah, he's wonderful. He's one of my top five too. I should have said Luther. I didn't think of that. There's so many good ones. Yeah.
Now, Shante, I'm going to ask you this because it seems like, especially in this generation, you know, with social media and stuff, and Ed, I think you can attest to this too. There's so much emphasis on like runs and riffs and stuff like that, but not every song needs that. Do you feel the same way, Shante?
I do. I think that choosing what you do when you do it is always the best way. I don't like overdoing anything, but I think if we just embrace who we are and not try to be somebody else. Some people just do a lot of runs. I know I love the Clark sisters, and they always had a particular style and the way they did runs and things like that. So there are churchy runs, and now there's the ones that are new, and it's new style that they have. So, you know, I'm not going to knock what they do, but, you know, I take it and I embrace it. I use a little of it myself. But I think it's about just being true to yourself and not trying to do what somebody else is doing. It's just doing you the best way you know how.
On that note, Shante, I'm going to hit you with this one. And, Kyle, you're going to get on me because I'm about to be on my old man again right quick. But what happened to Bridges? Like, they just, like, you don't hear them anymore. Like, what happened?
Well, you know what? Musicality kind of went out of the door a little bit there in hip-hop. However, you know, if you listen to, and I'm sorry to say, but if you listen to white artists, there's a lot of R&B coming out of those people. And we have to listen. They do Bridges. I do Bridges, you know, and I think that if we listen to particular artists, you're going to hear that. But hip-hop doesn't care if the music changes. They want to hear the rap come in, and then they want to hear that mumble come in, and they want to have that feeling. They want that feeling and that funk rather than having, you know, something that musically takes them somewhere else. They just like the beat.
Yeah, because I'm getting concerned. Every R&B song that comes out from one of these new artists nowadays, the songs are like 2 minutes and 14 seconds, and I'm like, that's it?
Yeah, you know what? I love it and I hate it. I love it because it does put the pressure, take some of the pressure off of making this really long song. However, I do appreciate making good music and how the long playing records used to be on for a really long time. I loved just taking that journey and hearing the long version when you hear the LP for real. And the extended versions, we used to make those and, you know, remixes. So I do miss that because it is my era as well.
No, for sure. Now, Shante, you know, before we get out of here, I got to ask you, you know, we do this every week with every guest. So, you know, we have a so backtrack of the day, you know, your personal favorite song of yours that you would recommend to a fan. You know, what would you want people to hear? It might not even be your biggest records, but what's a personal favorite of yours?
Well, one of my favorite is, my old favorites, one of them is I Want to Love Like That Again. It was one of my first ones that I enjoyed. I think that Don't Make Me Laugh on my last album, More Is More, before that, to me, that is another one that I think if you hear it, you'll hear my heart and my soul in. I think This Moment Is Mine was really an encouraging and very much a authentic and something that came from my heart at the time to really encourage myself. And to me, that's part of what I want to do as a writer and a singer is to encourage people if they're down or out, if they feel like they're alone or going through something that nobody else has gone through. Sometimes if they hear their artist or their favorite artist going through it, it kind of makes you feel like you're not quite an alien or not on an island by yourself. So I think some of those songs are good for me. I'm What You Need is a good one. There's so many of them. I don't know. There's a lot of good songs I've done that haven't been heard. But, of course, Shante's Got a Man is out there. Everyone seems to really love that. And they don't get it always that I'm singing that they should get a good man, too. They can find a good one if I did. But I think they really love the fact that I was singing about myself.
I got to say, I was so happy to hear you say Don't Make Me Laugh. That is my favorite new era Shante song.
That's awesome.
And I will say this because I got a little bit of petty in me. My all-time favorite isn't Shante's Got a Man. It's Bitter. That's my favorite.
Oh, my gosh. I do get requests for that almost every show that I do live. It is true. It is one of the favorites. And I make them sing the words. You know what word it is.
I know what you mean.
But I make them sing it for me. But it was a good moment. It was a good moment. I got over it.
Yeah. Shante, last question for you before we get out. You know, is there anything on your rider or anything like that's different about what you do in the studio that you could share with people, just something that's out of the ordinary as part of your routine?
Well, in the studio, I got to get a lot of rest. I don't think that's something that's odd, but I sing. I get hot water and honey, and I don't need tea. I don't need anything else in there, no lemon, just hot water and honey. And I try to figure out what my point is in singing the song, being a songwriter and not just a singer. I believe that it's part of, I would say, the acting of it and the getting into the mood of the song. I love songs that immediately put me in the mood of what it's trying to give you. You know what I mean? If it's a sexy song, I love the music to be sexy before I even start singing. If it's a happy song, I want the music to get you excited about and being happy before I start singing. But I think it's a part of just embracing music in its entirety. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, every single song I sing doesn't have to be a hit, but it has to be something that's authentic for me. So I'm not sure if that's what the question you were asking, but that's what I do.
No, that's a great point, because Ed and I talk about it all the time. There's a lot of songs these days where it lacks the feel, and, you know, that's not the case with your music. It seems like you live with the music through, you know, just what's happening at that time. So we definitely appreciate you for that, Shante.
Thank you very much for appreciating it. And that's the best part of making music, is to be appreciated. It's really the Grammys that happen all the time when people go, oh, my God, you are my favorite artist. I love you so much. You got me through this time in my college years, or, you know, my breakup, or we got married to your song, or whatever it is. Those are Grammys all the time. So I've had millions of Grammys.
That's great.
For sure. Yeah. So, Shante, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Yeah, in the new year, I have another EP coming out. That's 2 of 4, and it's ready. My first single from that is called Fresh Love, and it'll be out the first of the year. You can pick up, of course, the Christmas album right now. One of my favorite songs, of course, is Every Day Is Like Christmas. Share it with your family. Also get Santa Don't Slay. That's one of my favorites. Let your children hear it. They'll absolutely love it. Just 2 of 4 is coming out. 3 of 4 will be out soon after that. I'm just going to keep singing until I drop, and I'll be out there touring, and I hope to see everybody out there, and I appreciate every person who comes to hear me sing every single time. I don't take it for granted. So just thank you for the support.
Sounds good. Shante, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck with everything.
Thanks so much for your time as well.
All right, Ed, that was Shante Moore on the podcast. Man, that was a good one.
Man, Shante was fighting through some illness, but it came, she like pushed through, and it was a really good conversation. It was good. It's always good to kind of chat with some of those voices that have defined your fandom, and Shante has been like that for me. I got a lot of friends who are going to be jealous of me after this one, because she was the crush of many of my high school friends.
Well, I think this breaks our streak of like not having a guest on the podcast. So how about in 2019, we'll start bringing back the guests. I think we can, we've forgiven everyone.
I'm all for bringing back the guests. They always bring good conversation to it. And it's always good to just kind of hear the veteran perspective. We give the fan perspective. I mean, sometimes we can give a little bit more insight than a normal fan, but it's always good to hear what's going on their end, and coming together and hearing how things meet is always good. See, Shante's with me. What's happened to the bridges, dog? Y'all took the bridges away.
We got to get the bridges back. Enough of that 2-minute R&B song crap. We got to get the bridges back.
Please.
But
it's an interlude. Right. That's not a song.
Absolutely. Summer Walker, I'm looking at you. I'm just kidding. Ed, what's going on with SoInStereo.com?
I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but for the month of December, we always spend the time going back to count down our favorite albums of the year. So I have the Soul and Stereo Cypher members all have shared their favorite Christmas albums. So from now until December 25th, stop by every day. We'll be counting down new albums, all with the holiday theme, so you can get revisited on some of your old favorites, and then you're probably able to learn some new ones. As well as that, as I mentioned here before, we're coming off of my big month of November. Big month of November is what I meant to say. And that is the Blog Like Crazy Challenge, where I posted something new every single day this past month on soulandstereo.com, and there is just a ton of content from lots of new love letters. I have some new commentaries up, some new album reviews. I even found time to do a new Whatever Happened To. Y'all love them. I got a new one up. If you remember 3T, the sons of Tito Jackson, nephews of Michael Jackson, if you wonder what happened to them brothers, go check out the site, Whatever Happened To 3T. Lots of new content at soulandstereo.com.
Good stuff. And then as far as you know, I got Soul. Not a lot going on. Tom's been busy. But we're going to try to, like I said, get more guests on this podcast in the coming weeks. Oh, I forgot, though, Ed. We are hard at work on our year-end countdown. I'm not sure if we're going to get to 50 or whatever the number was that we're supposed to get to. Might do like a top 10 and have like 4 Lloyd songs, 2 Tamia songs. But that remains to be seen. But Ed,
I think there's enough to give us, we usually do 100, we should at least be able to do 50, but who knows, we'll see.
Yeah, and FYI, Boot Up is not eligible for this one because it was on our countdown like 2 years ago, so.
Yes, Boot Up is very old, y'all, sorry.
Yeah, so that seems to be it, Ed, for this week's podcast. Thank you again, Shantae, for joining us, and Ed, thank you for coming through with another episode.
Playa, it's always a pleasure. Always fun talking R&B and arguing with my boy.